Hey, all you hot messes, welcome back to another episode of the Hot Mess Teacher Express. On this week's episode, we have the amazing and wonderful Ashley and Brooke from Teachers Talk Crime. We talk all about being a teacher right now, the reality of that, and also sprinkle in a little bit of true crime. So please stick with us. You're not going to want to miss this. You hot messes, welcome back to another episode of the Hot Mess Teacher Express. I am, as always, the hottest and the messiest of them all, Jess Smith. I'm so excited you guys are here for this amazing episode that we have. I have some of the greatest people on the podcast with us today. I was just recently on their podcast and they are doing something super, super special. It is the Teachers Talk Crime. Ashley and Brooke, thank you so much for being here.
Duh.
Oh my. Okay. So, like, tell us all about you guys. Ashley, why don't we start with you? What do you teach? How long have you been teaching?
Well, hey y'all. I'm Ashley. If you listen to Teachers Talk Crime, but this is my ninth year teaching. I've done mainly fifth grade throughout my teaching experience, but I've been teaching third grade for the past 3 years. I like to focus on ELA because I'm not really good with numbers. I can acknowledge that about myself. You know, everybody makes mistakes.
We love that.
So do I. So, yeah.
And I'm Brooke. And I have been, and I've been teaching for, 7 years.
She's doing math.
So I've been teaching for 7 years in America, and I teach math, eighth grade math. I teach grade level and accelerated, and I co-teach. So I have all of the babies, the AA babies, the grade level babies, and the inclusion babies. So I have all of them, and I only teach math, so I don't do the letters and the commas and the apostrophes.
You guys like complete each other.
We do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet. I love that for you guys.
Are you gonna like spin back and talk about in America? Because you just slid that in there.
Yeah, I knew she was talking. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to ask about that. And then I'm so glad. Thank you so much. You know, I'm just going to step out here.
I get confused because I graduated and I started teaching in 2015. So like I went straight from undergrad into my first teaching job. And then the guy I was dating at the time, a loser, he sent me a text and said he broke up with me. And I was like, okay. So that night I went home and I applied for jobs in China and I got a job at the Italian embassy, which I was doing. Yeah.
What?
So I moved to China the next year by myself and I worked for the Italian embassy at their accredited school, which was a third. So it was a third American, one third Italian, one third Chinese. And so I helped hire the American teachers and I did like their salary, their benefits. I coordinated all the American holidays and I taught like all that. So
that is so cool.
So that was really fun.
Wait, did you not know that?
I knew that she worked in China.
No.
I didn't know you did all that.
So like I planned Thanksgiving for like the kids. And to be enrolled in this school, you had to be a dual citizen of any two countries out there. So these kids were coming from all parts of like the world. So we had one kid that spoke in the fourth grade. He spoke five languages. His dad was Russian. He lived in China, so he spoke Chinese. He went to an Italian school, so he spoke Italian. He was taking English. And his mom was, what was his mom? Oh, I can't remember, but she was not English speaking. He spoke five languages in fourth grade.
Oh, that kid wins.
Barely even speak
that
English.
Kid wins.
And, right? And you teach it. Yeah.
That is crazy. So how long did you
do
that?
For 2.5 years.
Wow. What was that school experience like? Was it a different experience or environment?
It was different because like all of my coworkers spoke different languages. And so like when they would interact, they would speak in their native language, which fine, whatever. And I'm over here like, I know English. Hey, good for me. So that was a little bit of a challenge. And just living in China in general was a challenge. But it's very, okay, so they do a different like learning style. So they believe that you should have no plan for the day. And whatever the kids want to explore in your classroom. So your classroom has to have this open concept with all of these like crayons and sensory objects and all of these things. And whatever the kids come in that day and want to explore, you should be pulling in the curriculum to match what they want to explore.
Oh my gosh. Ashley is gone. Yeah, she's packed her bag. There. She's moving to China.
She's there.
That is really... That's crazy.
It's giving me like Montessori and it worked vibes a little bit.
It is. Yeah, that's what they base all of their ideas off of that. But like when we prepared the schools, like we strategically like you strategically place things around the school, like obviously. And so like one project that we did was they had to create their own country because we got into like they had the flags up one day and a kid was over there and he was like messing with the flags. He was like, well, why do you have this on this one and why is this one on? And so then we had like this whole activity where they got to create their own country and they had to create their own flag for their country, their own name. And it was just like a week-long project that just appeared.
Were the kids in grade levels or was it just...
Yes and no.
Like all combined?
Yes and no. So they had like... Okay. So obviously they had kindergarten first and second together. And then second, third and fourth and higher together.
That is fascinating. That is so cool. I'm sorry. We're going to get back on track with Teachers Talk Crime, but that is so neat that you did that.
Great experience. Wonderful experience.
No kidding. Like, I don't know that I could move to another country. I wish I was brave enough to do it. I don't think I could do
it. I will say, I know we'll get back on track, but it is the safest I have ever felt in my entire life.
Fun fact, when I was still married, I had applied for jobs in China and I was this close. Like, we were like this close to moving. And then I chickened out at the last minute because I was like a new mom. Was I pregnant at the time? I can't really remember what was happening, but I was like, oh my gosh, I got to teach my baby how to like poop in like the holes. Cause like I was researching and they were like, you know, over in China, like babies just like, just hold them over this like thing. And they blah, like, right. And I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. I was going to try, but.
The pooping in the holes got you.
Yeah, I was just like, what happens if my baby can't do it? Like, I don't. But now I'm thinking I should have went. I think my babies would have been good.
Yeah. They would have been fine.
Your life in that classroom would have been like rainbows and butterflies, though. Sounds it. Okay, so let's get back on track here. Sorry, that's awesome. How did you guys meet?
Okay, so I'll start. 2020 came around, obviously pandemic, and we all jumped on TikTok. So I met a girl named Whitney Savoy on TikTok. Shout out to Whitney. And I messaged her, and I was like, I feel like we would be besties. And she's like, absolutely. So we started FaceTiming, and we started texting and everything like that. So then I was like, okay, hey, I'm going to come meet you. I'm going to fly up there and meet you. She was like, you're going to what? She's like, I don't really know you. Like, you're a stranger. And I was like, no, it's fine. You're fine. I'm not going to murder you. Like, you're fine. I'm going to come up there and I'm going to meet you.
Yeah. I would have been like, she's going to kill me.
So I flew up there and I met Whitney and we hit it off and it was great and it was wonderful. And I would say that was about October. And then in December, I was like, Whitney has like another friend. She's making TikToks with this other girl. Like, who is this girl? And I was asking Whitney. She's like, oh, you would love her. Like, her name is Ashley. Like, she's in the Delaware area and she's awesome. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to come back up there. So at Christmas, I flew up there, landed about 10:30, 10:45 at night. And Whitney was like, we're going to go to Ashley's house. I walked in. Ashley was like, hey. And I was like, hey. And I was like, we're going to be friends. And then we made TikToks all night long and I fell asleep on her love sack.
She sure did. And she still does when she comes here.
Yes.
Okay. So that's crazy. So it's just like, I don't like happen. Oh, that's amazing. So, okay. So like, how did Teachers Talk Crime start then?
this was when I had come down to Alabama. And we were listening to, that's where I found out that me and Brooke love true crime. So we're going down to the beach and we're listening to true crime the whole way. I'm like, oh my God, true crime, true crime. So I don't even know how much time goes by. Brooke contacts me and she's like, hey, have this idea for a podcast. You like true crime. I like true crime. We're both teachers. Why don't we make a true crime podcast that like just focuses on kids and we talk about all of our teaching experience and da da da. And I was like, that sounds really dope. I would love to be a guest on that show. And she was like, no, 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 sweetheart. You're going to host it with me. And I said, like regularly? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I mean, we can see how it goes.
And then Ash was like, you're going to fire me. And you're going to fire me.
And here we are.
I literally tell her all the time. I'm like, Brooke, if you ever just want to be done with me in the aspect of teachers talk crime, I wouldn't even, girl.
And look at where you guys are. You guys, how long have you guys been doing it?
Not even 2 years.
Okay. I was going to say it hasn't been too long. That's, and it is hot messes. If you have not listened to Teachers Talk Crime, I need you to just pause this really quick, go follow their podcast and listen to them after this one, because it's just, I love what you guys are doing because I am obsessed with true crime too.
And we started in the closet. Like our first episode, I have a picture. We literally got into our closets because the internet told us that our clothes would make it soundproof. We had the cheapest mics on Amazon and we were like, we're going to do this. And
you did it. And here we are.
Here we are. We always warn people when they like start, we're like, look, just bear with us.
Yeah.
Because we sound like we are underwater.
Here's the thing. The following that you guys have with Teachers Talk Crime, they are very loyal to you guys. And they are some of the most amazing listeners. And that's because of what you guys are doing and producing. So bravo to you guys. You're doing something right. So let's kind of talk about teaching right now. How is this year going?
Well, you caught me on a great day. A day where I was told that all my colleagues hate me and I make everything about me.
Not teacher on teacher crime here.
That is like the most crazy thing that I've ever heard. Because anybody who knows Brooke knows that she is the A1, day one in that classroom. And the only thing she's thinking about are those children and how she can help them. So for not, like, I don't know who said this, but best believe I'll be down next weekend. So it's not a problem.
I really do stick up for myself. So like today when it happened, like we were in a meeting and I was like, well, can you give me examples? I was like, you're not going to attack me without examples. Like, can you specifically tell me a situation? I said, because I disagree. And the situation that I was given was at a football game tailgate. I did not stay and clean up because I was better than everybody else.
I just cannot. Like, do people not have anything else to be
also
upset about? Are you kidding me right now?
I was 20 feet away and all you had to do is text me, hey, Dozier, we need help cleaning right up. Can you come back? Absolutely. I'm there. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. And the other one was that when I sent emails, it says, and I'm not going to, I don't know if she would care, but it was, I say emails as I and someone else instead of saying we. And I was like, well, hold on. Because the situations that I email about specifically are only about me and this other person. I was like, so why am I going to say we when it's not a we thing? It was mind blowing because then I defended myself and I was like, hold on. I'm just really confused because at first period today, like first period, today, I sent out a staff-wide email and I was like, hey, I learned this really cool thing at a conference I went to last week. I really want to share it. I'm implementing it today in my classroom. If anyone would like to come during their planning and see it done, I'm happy to show you. Doors always open. But I'm all about me. And then I was like, didn't we implement positivity notebooks? Like, wasn't that my idea in August when I came up with the positivity notebook? Like, I'm just confused.
They are reaching for straws here. And the straws are not even giving.
They're not straws. They're just non-existent. And quote,
as teacher of the year, I should be a better leader.
Are we? Were you not just at a conference? Did you not just do a whole thing? Yo, we going back to China. We got to go. we got to get out of here. This is ridiculous.
I think it's like to the point where teachers like are just kind of attacking each other. And that's, we're missing the point here.
We're missing the point that every idea that is brought to the table by admin, by teachers, by anyone, instructional coaches, it should all be student focused. So every idea that I have brought to the table, I have backed it either one by data or by personal experience. Like everything I try to advise or suggest is all student centered. And that's what our job is. And at the end of the day, here's my final say on how this year is going. We are adults. You do not have to come to the bar with me and have a White Claw after work. You do not have to text me and ask how my marriage is going or how my family's doing or anything like that. You don't have to come to football games with me. We're adults. We don't have to like each other. But at work, in front of children, we need to be, hey, how are you today? Can I help you with anything? Or, hey, did you see that email? Hey, our pep rally is at 3:30. At work, we put all of that aside and we be teachers and we're co-workers. We don't have to be friends, but we're co-workers.
I think you nailed it. Yeah. There's absolutely no reason to bring the petty stuff up. It totally distracts from what you guys are doing or what should be doing.
Especially when you spend majority of your time at this building. Like you got, granted, not saying that you're my second family, but I see you probably more than I see my own family.
Right.
And then this is what you're going to make me walk into every day. Like, who raised you?
What? Yeah.
We need to have a conversation. Mom, dad, Nana, pop, sit on down. Because what?
Oh. I am so sorry that you are going through that. And like, bravo to you for like standing up for yourself and keep doing it. Cause
we're all about students though. And I'm taking a student who I don't want to say it doesn't, you know, necessarily have anything, but I don't think this experience would be available like in just everyday life. So I'm taking one of my students that I'm very close with. I'm taking her to Disney on Ice as an eighth grader. And she's like so pumped. And I'm just like, that is so adorable. Like, what? I was like, I have an extra ticket. Do you want to go? She was like, oh my gosh. Yes. Can you call my mom? I was like, yeah.
Aww,
I love the kids.
No kidding.
Yes. I love the children.
Yes.
But Ashley, how's your year?
It's rough. The issue is that I'm trying to hold them accountable so I can do my job. Because my job at the end of the day is to teach you all and make you all prepared for fourth grade. But I've had a number of parent emails and I'm just okay, all right. Because I would never talk to Skylar and Aria's teachers the way that I've been spoken to this year. I would, no matter if Skylar came home and told me that somebody punched her in the throat and this is the first time I heard about it. Hey, Skylar told me the way that I am being approached this year is absolutely insane.
Does that deter you from wanting, not wanting to help these kids, but like work to help these kids? Because there's no camaraderie.
My communication with my families has diminished because as a parent, I would want to know. I would want to know if my kid's cutting up. Like, granted, I'm fortunate enough that I'm in the same building as them. So their teachers will literally text me like, yo, so-and-so's having a rough day. I'm like, you need me to come up there? Because I will come up and I will make sure has a better day for you. And they're like, either yeah or we'll make it. And every time I go up there, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And at the end of the day, like, I'm with your child more than you're with your child. So the things that you're telling me I don't know, I'm very aware of. And I'm having a conversation with you because now their behavior is impeding on their learning. And you're going to tell me, like, it's just really ridiculous. It's really exhausting. student behavior is kind of like, granted, I've worked in the inner city of Wilmington. Like, I've dealt with rough children. But this right here is different. This is different.
I teach rough children. Like, my school is in the projects. Like, my school's in the projects. So I teach very rough, around the edges children. But Ashley, you're dealing, I'll say it because it's my opinion and they don't know me. I feel like you're dealing with entitled children, but they're entitled only because their parents have made them that way.
And I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just, I respect your opinion.
And it's unfortunate because you are who raised you. I mean, granted, you can become an adult and make your own decisions, but there are still a lot of qualities about my dad and my mom that are embedded in me, you know, and it's just part of who I was brought up by. And I hate when you see that in the parent, you're like, oh, okay.
And I think, Ashley, like, you're doing the hard thing for these kids that is the good thing for them, which is holding them accountable. And they may not have had anyone in their life that's doing that for them yet. So this is kind of like their first experience.
And then it's just like, the parents are just like, well, why are you being so hard in the beginning of the year? And da-da-da. If we don't hit it now, it's going to spiral into a bigger problem later. So we nip everything in the bud now. So later, we're getting that timing for this lesson, because I'm not redirecting you every 3 seconds, because you know that in this class, your only job is to learn. This is your job. And some of y'all are not getting paid. Yeah. And that's not on me.
It's like you've done this before. It's like you've done this before. I'm not
real sure. No.
It is just mind-boggling. It's really hard, especially when this is something that I've always wanted to do. And now I'm questioning if I want to do this anymore. I'm at year 9. I don't know if I'm going to make it to 12. I wholeheartedly can say that. If I can get out of the classroom, that's the goal right now. I would still work in education and not be in the classroom, because all of the responsibilities, all of the expectations, all of the this and this and this and this, it's a lot. It is a lot.
And unfortunately, I think you're in the majority of teachers these days. That's something we need to figure out something, I'm telling you.
I mean, but what happened to the days where parents trusted their teachers? And what happened to the days where admin trusted their teachers? Like, I trust you to go in here and do the right thing and have this amazing lesson, and what you say goes. And I'm just here as support. Like, admin was originally designed to support teachers.
All right. So let's talk about maybe a little bit not so rough things. Well, they are rough. They are rough for some people, I guess. True crime. Okay. Let's talk about it. What is the fascination with it? What do you think it is? Especially with teachers. I feel like teachers are some of the most true crime obsessed people.
And this is why we have this podcast, because we need people like us to listen. You know what I mean? With a little teacher sprinkle in there, some realness. Like, who doesn't want that? True crime to me is kind of like ASMR. Dare I say it?
Ooh.
Dare I say it? It is just so calming to me. And anybody who knows me is, I am the most paranoid human being in the land. At one point, my therapist was like, are we sure that you listening to the true crime is helping? And I'm like, yeah, it's just making me hyper aware. Like, I'm just, the more things that I learn about, the more make sure I do X, Y, and Z when I go outside. I'm safe.
Make sure you never have a typical day.
I used to do the same running route, and I switch it up. I'm like, you ain't gonna get me. But I feel like true crime to me is literally like relaxing. Like, I don't know what it is about it. I think the first podcast I listened to was My Favorite Murder. And
I rolled with My Favorite Murder.
And then I went into Morbid. First of all, Elena's always liking my stuff on TikTok. Elena, girl. If you want to give me a shout, if you want to give us a shout out, teachers, it's all crime. And like, come on, girl. I just need to say it once, one time. And I think we would
That's it.
Go there.
Mine, Keith Morrison, he's a zaddy. He's a zaddy.
Not a zaddy.
Yes. Absolutely.
Not a zaddy.
If I get murdered and Keith Morrison does not cover my case, I'm rolling over in my grave.
First of all, I'm covering the case. Mm-hmm.
You too. You are. Except for it's gonna be.
You get to talk to Keith.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be the last episode of Teachers Talk Crime ever.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing this without her.
So like, I have a really like good routine. So I commute 54 minutes one way every day. In the morning, I am Elvis Duran in the morning show because I need like his like peppy spirit. I need like his energy. All of those things every single day. Whatever podcast I follow has a new episode out. Like, that's the one I listen to on the way home. So, like, Dateline, Killer Queens, Creeps and Crimes, Crazy in Love. I really got into the ones that covered the Murdoch case for a while. So, I loved that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very fascinating. I hate that I say I love them. Like, that's weird. But, like, they're fascinating. Great word. I think it's too. It was so funny the other day. James and I were going to dinner. And he was trying to talk to me, I say the other day, I don't even know when it was. He was he had a podcast on that was current events, like things happening in the world right now. And I was like, hey, can you turn that off? And he was like, why? And I was like, because I don't want to infiltrate my mind with negativity that I can't control. I was like, it'll just bring me down. And he was like, you literally have a true crime podcast. And I was like, yeah, but see, those things have already happened, and I can't control those.
Okay, so this is, like, going to be one of my questions, because that is such a thing. I feel like, why are you celebrating or, like, taking in all of this negative energy that true crime emulates? No. I started listening to true crime with My Favorite Murder. So I think when you talked about My Favorite Murder, that was my gateway drug into the whole true crime podcast, because they do this cool thing where they kind of like make it funny. And you guys kind of do the same thing where it's like it becomes entertaining to listen to the things that, Brooke, you're right, have already happened. So,
and I feel like it's like super easy to convince yourself like that it's not true. Like if you were one of those people that it really like did like affect you, then you could be like, well, that was just a story.
The amount of times that I look at them like an entertaining, dramatic story, like the true crime documentaries that I literally soak up on HBO or Netflix, like all of the things, I'm like, when is the next episode? What's going to happen next?
And I just remember like when I first got into true crime, like I would have to like take a hiatus every now and then, because then I would just be like, all right, these are all the things that could happen to me when I go out. And I would just be like, when I'm driving, like, I'm always just like, that person been behind me a little too long. Like, what's going on? Let me switch lanes. Ah, he's switching lanes. He gonna kill me. Like, immediate. He gonna kill me. So when it starts to get like that, I'm like, all right, let me pull back. I'm doing a little too much right now. I'm doing a little too much. But then I go, I always come back hard. I always come back, better.
It's like James. He's like, I seriously, Brooke, do not, like, understand how you haven't been murdered or kidnapped yet. Because, like, I flew to Delaware to meet a stranger on the internet. Then I flew to Delaware again to meet another stranger on the internet. And then when I was trying to fly up there to see her not too long ago, I got into a white van on the side of the road, and her name was Betty Jackson. And she opened up her van and she was like, hey, need a ride to the airport? And I was like, actually, I do.
So we'll wrap this thing up. My last question for you guys is, if you have someone, if we have a listener with us today that has not been into true crime, never been into true crime, what would be something that you would say to them to convince them to try it?
I would say find people that are in your niche, not true crime specifically. So if you are, for example, really into conspiracies, but not necessarily true crime, then Creeps and Crimes would be your go-to because they have a conspiracy side. If you are a teacher who wants that perspective, then our podcast, Teachers Talk Crime, is your true crime thing. If you are someone who is really into just factual, no banter, Dateline's probably your go-to. If you are going through marriage issues and you want to murder your husband, then Crazy in Love is probably your niche, you know? So
don't murder your husband.
Don't do that. Don't.
Listen to the
podcast. Just listen to the podcast. But because you will get caught, but find a podcast that is in your niche and things that you like outside of the true crime element.
I just keep going second, and I don't like that for me. Because Brooke's answers are A1. I would say just give it a try. Because my mom has always been, I don't know how you listen to this stuff. I don't know how you listen to this stuff. And ever since I came out with a podcast, granted, my mom's good support. Shout out to Trudy. Love you, girl. But now she listens to other true crime podcasts. And she's like, did you hear this episode about da-da-da? So I think it just, give it a try. Because my mom's like, I could never listen to something like that. She's listening hardcore. So I would say, like, kind of combine it with Brooks, like, find something that fits your niche, but give it a try.
I think it's very shocking the amount of people that are participating in listening to true crime or, like, taking in that content. It is something that has brought a lot of people together. You were just talking about your mom. Like, my mom and I will talk true crime forever. Like, it's just something that, I don't know, it's just such a beautiful thing. And a lot of times we agree with what's going on. All right. So when do Teachers Talk Crime, when do those episodes drop? Where can our listeners find you guys? All of the things. Drop all of the things.
We have new episodes every Monday and every happy hour. So depending on, our happy hours are our full moon episodes. So all of our full moon episodes focus on a teacher. Either the teacher is the murderer or the teacher has been murdered. So that's once a month. We have a Patreon coming out in the new year that'll have some extra content in there as well.
What?
Yeah, we're trying to do big things over here. You could find us on YouTube. We're on YouTube now. Teachers Talk Crime. We are also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere you can get a podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, Teachers Who Talk Crime.
And where can people follow you guys individually?
Brooke is better at Instagram than me.
Mine is KB Dozier, and then my TikTok is southern.math.teacher.
And my Instagram is Branny. That's Brant. With 3 Y's and an underscore.
Don't forget the underscore.
Don't ever do it. You will find the wrong person. And that is on both Instagram and TikTok.
Guys, thank you so much for being on the Hot Mess Teacher Express. I'm so happy that we got to chat again. Thank you for just doing what you guys are doing for teachers and for, like, even the community outside of teachers. We love a true crime. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys, next week we'll have another amazing episode, and I cannot wait to see you next week on the Hot Mess Teacher Express. I think I need a little outro song. Could you do one for me?
Ooh, yes, Ashley.
All the board, we're getting on the Hot Teacher Mess Express. Yeah.